Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Let's start with the conversations that have been sparked by that viral video of a teenager who was fined 1,000 ringgit for purportedly pulling down his face mask while waiting on a train platform, and it left him in tears. Now, this video had raised questions about seemingly uneven enforcement of the compulsory face mask rule. As you know, quite a number of politicians have been photographed without masks while in public places. This is photographic evidence, Sharad.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are concerned about the question of double standards, and that's the perception, or uneven enforcement. There are even questions around, I guess, and this has happened in many parts of the world. I mean, should the police be involved in the question of the enforcement of these social distancing rules when they have so many other more pressing matters to deal
with?
Well,
but who would enforce it if not the police?
Well, this is a very interesting question. It's about the, I think, the way you think about the problem and whether this is a criminal act that needs to be stamped out at every possible moment, or a long-term change in public attitudes and behaviour.
So remember we spoke to Dr. Helmi from Pantai Hospital, and he is a physician of, I think, a chest physician, right? And he talked a little bit about this mandatory mask rule, and the idea is, yes, you need awareness, you need to change public behaviour, but whether you should, make it the law, make it, to criminalise, to penalise not wearing it, I think that is also a problem. Who will enforce this? How do we ensure enforcement is consistent, making sure that, young, people are not selectively targeted.
Yeah, no, but Melissa, I think it goes back again to, I think, our authoritarian culture. The choice that was made, I don't know by whom, to place the quantum of the fine at this extraordinary rate of 1,000 ringgit. How many people in Malaysia would for whom that would be a substantial chunk of their monthly wages? And so when you have it at such an extraordinary level, then the question is why,
for it to be a deterrent, right?
Well, yes, but you could whip people for that too, and that would be a deterrent. So there are principles involved in the relationship between a fine or a punishment and the crime that's committed, and must be commensurate with what is the infraction, right? So I think that's it. It seems quite out of the extraordinary to have such a high fine, considering what exactly is going wrong and what they're trying to change. Again, if we go back to the question of changing behaviour, now, it also opens up the possibility, Melissa, of a corruption. Because when you're saying to somebody, I can ruin your life, I'm going to make your month so miserable financially, perhaps then you can get into a bargaining kind of situation. And so
it could open up opportunities of corruption.
Okay. Absolutely. And I think that, and you see it on social chatter now, what is the going rate to sort of, to get through this and not get the 1,000 ringgit fine? Now, in that situation we saw, which was, well televised, and it was all this publicity, of course, everybody's their best behaviour. But when you have, in the powers of enforcement officers, this extraordinary ability to ruin people's financially, at least for that month when they get their wages, or in this case, a student. I mean, to think that give 1,000 ringgit burden,
right?
Who
apparently temporarily took off his mask. And I do want to say, you talked a little bit about changing behaviours, Sharad. How many of us actually know of the 14 places and occasions that the National Security Council has mandated for, the wearing of face masks? And it's about, I think, a lack of education as well. So educate first before you penalise.
Yeah, but again, it comes back to our authoritarian culture. There is a love of punishment, and I think that is well established in our culture and in the agencies that we have, and they would rather punish than to educate, I think. And I think that is a major problem. And I do think corruption is something that we need to look out for because of the way in which these laws are structured.
Right.
I think it's a real big problem.
Speaking of which, another viral video in the news, this time of Wan Ahmad Faizal, Wan Ahmad Kamal, the Deputy Minister of Youth and Sports. In this video, he promised to leverage on his position in the government and party to issue support letters in exchange for votes. So Wan Faisal is contesting for the post of Chief of Armada, that's the youth wing of the Bersatu Party. Now, in this video, Senator Wan Faisal said that all the endorsement letters that he will write will be CC'd to the Prime Minister. And to quote him, translated from Malay, "This is what this post is for. The post has been given to help you all, not for me alone, but to help you so that you can help me too." Now, that video has since courted criticism about the use of support letters, some saying that it is a return of a Barisan national culture. Or has it always been practiced behind closed doors? And this is the, you know, we're hearing about it publicly now.
Well, Melissa, this is a politician, I think, who brings a smile to the faces of just about everybody across the political spectrum because of his, I would say, his frankness, his forthrightness in saying what he thinks. And I think the what is also interesting, of course, is the fact that this video was leaked and apparently by somebody within his own circle. So I'm not quite sure whether this was leaked in order to make him a lightning rod for criticism, or in fact to show him to be precisely the kind of politician that Malaysia needs, a man who won't shy away from saying what he thinks is the nature of politics, which is, you know,
patronage.
Okay. Actually, so the big P is patronage, which is that and you scratch my back, I scratch your back, in a like, quid pro quo.
Well,
issue.
The idea was, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, so Anthony Loke had come out and posted on his Facebook saying that after the Pakatan Harapan administration was sworn in as ministers, they had the MACC chief back then, Datuk Seri Muhammad Shukri Abdul, give a briefing in which, in that briefing, they were all ministers, deputy ministers as well, were ordered not to issue letters of support to anyone or even use words or comments in administrative letters or documents that could influence you know, certain decisions made by the administration.
Yeah, so administrative decisions should be made on the basis of evidence, what cost-benefit analysis, all kinds of other yardsticks, and not whether the person making the, you know, request is influential or not. And I think it goes back to the way in which democracy, an import, as it were, from the West, you know, is used here and deployed in very, very interesting ways, Melissa, you know, with local politicians, with people who, for whom the rational idea, you know, ideal notions of what a democracy and what good governance might be is actually not the point. The
well,
point
how much
is
weight,
extending...
Sharad, is a letter of support?
Well,
I mean,
it
if you
really
take away the weight
well,
of the
really
letter
depends,
of support.
Yeah, it depends on how the structure of governance. If you have a system where the Prime Minister's say is everything and can determine, you know, contracts amounting to billions of dollars, and we've seen in the multiple corruption cases we have how, because the individuals involved were high-ranking, that everybody down the line acceded to. And they just said yes or signed the papers or pushed it. And they were able, just by the force of their personality and the public office that they held, were able to steal money, basically, from the public purse. Now, that is not going to go away anytime soon. The Pakatan Harapan Raya, the Pakatan Harapan government were attempted to make a break from it. I don't think these changes were going to happen, you know, very
not
quickly.
Not overnight.
No,
all right, we're going to take a quick break. But after this, we will be speaking to Orang Asli activists about the International Day of Indigenous Peoples. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to Consider This.